You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Friday, March 5th, and welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, as we have made it to the end of week one of games here in 2021 spring training. Of course, we've only gotten the one televised game so far on Monday. NBC Sports Philadelphia put that one out against the Phillies. And our next one won't be until Sunday. So when we are back with you on Monday, we will talk about that game Sunday against the Pirates, which is being broadcast, and we'll be able to break it down a little bit further. But on today's episode, we are going to take a quick look at Thursday's spring training game, the 6-3 win for the Orioles in six innings over the Red Sox. And then a little bit later, we are going to be joined by Kevin Carroll. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Rome Braves, single-A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. And he's going to talk to us about a couple guys the Orioles got back in the Tommy Malone trade last season. Remember, they sent Malone over to Atlanta. They got two infielders, Greg Cullen and A.J. Graffinino. We talked about Cullen a bit with his college coach back a couple months ago. We're going to focus a little bit on Graffinino, but we will talk about both infielders because Kevin did see both of them play for pretty long stretches of time in Rome. So that'll be coming up in a little bit. But first, we get to Thursday's game. Again, was not broadcast by Masson or by Nesson, so there was just a radio broadcast of this one. But it was a second straight Oriole victory. They are now 2-2-1 through five spring training games. Of course, that's not really what matters. It's more about the individual performances on the field and really two big takeaways from, you know, combining the box score to the radio call to what the writers Joe Trezza and John Mioli kind of reported and wrote about down from Sarasota. So we first start with the hitters, and you got to give a shout out to Ramon Urias taking advantage of his opportunity today. He was initially not in the lineup for the Orioles. Initially, Freddy Galvis was supposed to play shortstop today, but this is something to monitor. Galvis leaves the lineup. He was a late scratch with some soreness in his hip. He will be monitored, and we will see how long it takes him to come back. But he had to come out of the lineup, so they just slotted Ramon Urias in at shortstop, and he took advantage of that chance. Now, he only had the one hit on the day, did go 1-for-3 on the day, but the hit was the biggest one of the game for either side, as Urias came through with a 3-run home run in the bottom of the fifth inning. Game was tied at 3 at that point. The shot put the Orioles up 6-3, scoring Taron Vavra and Taylor Davis, who were both on base as well. And a nice scene for Urias, gets his first home run of the spring. Remember, he had one home run in the 2020 season last year when he made his major league debut with the Orioles. And Urias is, you know, just another guy who is in this infield conversation. You know, if Freddy Galvis is healthy, he's going to be the starting shortstop. Urias will be in conversation for that utility infield role. But if Galvis is hurt, Urias's chances get even better, because then the Orioles have their two true shortstops injured in Richie Martin and Freddy Galvis, and that really would open the door for Urias. But we will see how that works out for him, as he's going to get his shot, and he has gotten his shot this spring training. The home run came off of Steven Gonsalves, the pitcher for the Red Sox, who is a guy vying for a major league bullpen role with Boston. But Urias is definitely in that conversation with the likes of the Pat Valaikas and the Ryland Bannons and the Jamai Jones and others to get kind of a utility infield role with the Orioles. And today definitely helped his chance. You know, didn't expect to start and came in the game and made the most of it with a 3-run home run. Again, he is a little older at 26 after just making his debut last year. Was in the Mexican League for a while, then signed with the Cardinals, and then the Orioles claimed him off waivers last spring training from St. Louis. So we will see how this plays out. You know, he's still a guy who has options and could start the year in AAA, but Urias, I think, has a good shot right now of making this team, especially if this Galvis injury is a little more serious than it looks like right now. But obviously, we will keep an eye on that. But the other big thing came from the pitching side for the Orioles, and it was once again the Oriole bullpen this spring training just really impressing. Dean Kramer, you know, wasn't super sharp in his first spring start, an inning and two-thirds, gave up 3 runs on 3 hits, allowed a home run as well. But Spencer Watkins came in and got a big out. Bruce Zimmerman, two scoreless innings, four strikeouts for Bruce, allowed just one hit. Travis Lakins threw the fifth inning, scoreless inning with two strikeouts and a hit allowed. And Eric Hanhold came in and shut it down, 1-2-3 in the sixth, with a strikeout as well. So all of these bullpen arms continuing to impress. And obviously the most impressive and the biggest line there for the Orioles came from Bruce Zimmerman, who, of course, the lefty came up and made two appearances at the end of 2020, making his major league debut. The Maryland native who came over from the Braves in the deal a couple of summers ago for Kevin Gausman. But he came in the third inning and he struck out Bobby Dalbec, one of the Red Sox top prospects. He struck out Yairo Munoz and Michael Getty, struck out the side in the third inning, did allow a single to Cesar Puello. And then in the fourth inning, he came back out there, struck out Nick York to start the inning, then got a line out and a ground out to end his outing. And he, you know, was pretty impressive apparently down there in Sarasota. And John Mioli saying, you know, the fastball looked good. The slider command was really, really good. And that's something that has been talked about Zimmerman. You know, he's really confident in his slider and being able to throw it for strikes as well. And he's another guy, you know, he's definitely in play for a potential rotation spot this year, maybe not to start the year, but down the line here in 2021. He's definitely in play to be a bridge guy, a long reliever out of the bullpen. You know, we remember last year, his major league debut was starting the second game with a doubleheader, and it didn't go too well. But then his second appearance came against Boston and he pitched three scoreless innings out of the bullpen. And you know, was able to kind of bridge the gap in that game against the Red Sox last year. So we'll see what kind of role Zimmerman can try and carve out. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say he's anything like a lock for the opening day roster, but he's got a good shot to get on that opening day roster for the Orioles because he's a lefty and he can pitch in multiple different roles. And no matter what, we're going to see a good amount of Zimmerman in the big leagues in 2021. But that was kind of the recap of the game Thursday. Again, the Orioles beat the Red Sox 6-3 in that one. Cedric Mullins had an RBI as well. Anthony Santander drawing a couple more walks. A nice day of baseball for the Orioles. So next up for the O's will be today's game, 1:07 p.m. Eastern time start. They will take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Again, that game is not being televised, but you can listen to it on the radio, I believe. But coming up next after this break, we are going to get to the Tommy Malone trade from last year. The Orioles sending Tommy Malone to the Braves at the deadline for two players to be named later. And then back in November, those players were named. It was a couple of infielders, Greg Cullen and A.J. Graffanino from the Atlanta system. Now, we talked about Cullen a bit, talked to his college coach here on the pod back in the fall. You can go back in the archives and listen to that one. But today we will talk about both of those guys, but focus a little bit more on Graffanino because we didn't get to cover him as much the first time around. And Kevin Carroll is going to join us. He is the play-by-play voice of the Rome Braves, single-A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. And he saw AJ and Greg play a good amount in Rome in their time with Atlanta. And so we are going to talk to him about what the Orioles can expect from these two guys, but especially from Graffanino, who comes from a baseball family and you know, is mulling around near the Orioles' top 30 prospects lists. So that comes up with Kevin Carroll after this break. We'll get to that interview in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we know we're still waiting on opening day, April 1st, but we still got a lot of sports going on. It is March Madness time almost here in college basketball. Also, the NBA and the NHL are in full swing as well. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So before we get to our chat with Kevin Carroll, Got to tell you about a new podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Today, hosted by Peter Bukowski. All the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Today on Locked On Today, James Harden heads back to Houston with his new team. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your pods. And now we chat with Kevin Carroll, play-by-play voice of the Rome Braves, talking AJ Graffinino and Greg Cullen. First of all, Kevin, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Connor. It's good to be with you, and certainly appreciate working with our schedules back and forth. I know it's been a little hectic because of COVID, but it's good to get a chance to catch up with you.
Yeah, we wanted to look back on a trade that was obviously completed back in November, but now that we are getting back to sniffing baseball, and we're about 2 months away from minor league opening day. Kind of wanted to revisit this trade that we didn't break down on this podcast as much when it happened. And that is the trade that sent Tommy Malone to the Braves for two players to be named later at the deadline. Those two players ended up being AJ Graffinino and Greg Cullen, a couple of infielders whom you saw with the Rome Braves in Single A, and wanted to mostly focus on AJ because he's a little more of an unknown just because really nobody has seen him play baseball since 2018. When he was in Rome and having a pretty good season with the Braves. So I know it was only 37 games there in 2018, but what did you see from him that you liked and what allowed him to hit 301 in that shortened time in the South Atlantic League?
It was interesting when he came in because at the time, the 2018 team had already clinched a playoff berth by winning the division title in the first half. And one of their best players, that team had a lot of prospects on it for Atlanta, guys that would be really well known to be Drew Waters and William Contreras, some guys like that who were significant prospects on that team. But the guy that was leading the team in batting, leading the league in batting at the time, I believe, was a young man named Riley Delgado. And he had gotten promoted after, basically winning the first half batting title, and he got promoted, and the thought was, my goodness, this team's offense is really going to drag. He was a machine for them, and said, well, the guy coming up's pretty good, and then find out that it's all, a deeper Braves connection there, and that is Tony Graffinino's son, and a lot of fans remember him as being a part of the Braves, and was a big leaguer for a long time. And AJ's pedigree at Washington was strong. He had dealt with some injuries there. But everything that we heard from scouts and that coming up from short season clubs is that he was playing great, that he was a very, scouts call it loose, like a tall, kind of loose body type, an athletic body type. And the minute he hit Rome, he took off, and he had big shoes to fill on that team and did so, hit over 300, had extraordinary range at shortstop. And that was something that I really enjoyed watching that people don't talk about much is his defense. He had great range in that league. He did deal with some minor injuries down the stretch. I think he just had not at that point because of the injuries he had dealt with in college. He had not played a season that long in a while. And so I think maybe he was just getting a little tired, a little worn down toward the end of the year. But with Rome, AJ was very good. He was part of that nucleus that most of the team that had on that 2018 Rome team, by the time we got to the playoffs, most of the guys that were on the roster when they clinched the first half title were gone. They had been promoted to the Florida State League by that point. AJ was one of the new pieces that was in the heart of the lineup. And he was one of the best all-around middle infielders in the South Atlantic League in the second half of that season. And you started to see him pop up on prospect lists too, along with Riley Delgado here and there, another guy who he obviously replaced on that team. He can play short. He could play second base, had the arm to play third base. And he did a lot of special things for that ball club. And unfortunately, coming right out of the gate the next year, I saw him in spring training. He wasn't playing, was in minor league camp for about a week covering the minor leagues as I usually do. And he was not in any of the scrimmages. He told me he was hurt. and they just couldn't quite figure out what was going on. So he missed a huge amount of time, obviously, in 2019 with injuries. Last year, there was no minor league season. But the Braves always liked his ceiling, his raw athleticism. Obviously, he's got a great pedigree as a baseball player, grew up around big leaguers with his dad and, part of some great teams in the 90s and 2000s. So he has, kind of that it factor, the swag. He knows he belongs. Really, the only unfortunate thing with AJ is we haven't gotten to see him play that much. In college or in the pros, he's just dealt with a lot of injuries. When he's been healthy, he always seems to catch the eyes of scouts, especially with his body type.
Yeah, you mentioned, just not being able to play as much. I mean, his junior year at Washington in 2018 was what really, got him drafted in the eighth round that year with the Braves. He ended up hitting .364 and with a .440 on base, but he only got in 29 games because of some issues. And then, as you said, he only played a total of 43 games down the stretch in 18, and then, basically had his next 2 years wiped out. So he is a little bit of an unknown. But coming out of college, he was definitely profiled as, really a singles hitter. I mean, he did not hit a home run in his 3 years at Washington. And, he never had a season with more than 9 doubles. Is that kind of what you got out of those, about 40 games that you saw from him? I mean, I know the average was high and it's a lot of singles. So was he still able to provide value despite, not being really much of a power hitter?
There wasn't a ton of extra base power there, but what scouts would say at the time was that they believed his body type with his athleticism, with his bat speed would create enough power for him to profile as a middle infielder as he went up the ladder. Maybe not, ideal power if he was playing third base on a regular basis, but for a shortstop or a second baseman that he would have enough in the bat to do that. And I mean, he was coming out. The scouts in our league had told me was that they had heard that he was a guy who was going to hit the gaps a lot. And you could certainly see as he got stronger and a little older and maybe grew into that a little bit more, that he would be a guy who you would picture in your mind, a 300 hitter, a guy that takes walks, a guy that's going to get on base and singles, doubles, maybe not a ton of power, but a plus defender up the middle who's going to hit 300 and take walks is obviously a very valuable player.
Yeah. And you saw him play a lot of shortstop. Is the sense that he, eventually will be a second baseman long-term, or do you think, even without that power in today's game, he could potentially stick it short?
That, I guess, would be up to his development and up to the Baltimore coaches.
Right.
I think he's got the range for short, but, sometimes, obviously, range in the South Atlantic League isn't always going to be the range that's expected when you're going up the ladder. So he also hasn't really played above, really above A ball in any kind of significant amount of games. So I think you'd want to see what he can do, the double A and triple A levels. My guess would be the Orioles would think that he has value as an up the middle defender and see what he can do at shortstop, see what he can do at second base. Personally, if it was me, I would play him at shortstop till he proved to me that he couldn't.
Right.
But I'm not sure what the Orioles plans would be for him, but I think it could be a great situation for him. Shortstop has gotten a little crowded in the depth chart for Atlanta with, Shoemake getting drafted in the first round a couple of years ago. Obviously Dansby Swanson has had success at the big league level. He could perhaps find an easier path as a middle infielder. Clearly in Atlanta, he's not playing second base. Ozzie's there. So maybe in Baltimore, a middle infield path would be a little easier to achieve.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, it's more wide open just being a rebuilding team, and it's more wide open because, the Orioles haven't really exactly found that second baseman of the future yet. And shortstop is still wide open as well. But wanted to talk about the other middle infielder as well that the Orioles got from Atlanta in this deal. We actually profiled Greg Cullen a bit back in the fall after the trade, talked to his college coach from Niagara about his stellar college career. But he was a guy who I got to see firsthand when I was in Hagerstown, and you guys in the Braves came to Municipal Stadium a few times when he was with Rome for that entire 2019 season. And obviously he profiles a little bit differently as a hitter because there's much more pop in Greg Cullen's bat than there is in AJ Graffanino's. But, you know, he hits from the left side and he's not, you know, a big assuming guy, only 5'10", but it always seemed like he had, you know, a little bit of sneaky power in his bat from what you looked at him and thought about him as a hitter.
First thing that always comes to mind for me with Greg is play discipline. He was routinely a guy who you'd see fall behind 0-1, 0-2 and come back and work, you know, 7-8-9 pitch walk. He hit first, second, third, did a lot of that at the top of the order for Rome 2 years ago. He was a postseason all-star. They had Justin Dean hitting leadoff and Greg hitting second much of the time. And to me, for the top of the order, he's got an ideal approach. He's going to see a lot of pitches. He takes very long at bats. He prides himself on being, you know, grinding those at bats. And he's, you know, as you mentioned, he's 5'10". He's not a big guy by any means, but there is more power in his bat than you may think when you see him walk to the plate. He's a left-hander, and he's a guy that's got some pull power. We saw that when he was in Rome, and he does a lot of little things well. He's not an elite runner by any means. He could steal you a base here and there. A strong fundamental player, and a guy that's going to play a solid enough second base for you too. But to me, the overwhelming thing about Greg Cullen that you'll notice with him in the Orioles system as a hitter is his approach. He is going to consistently see a ton of pitches and grind down opposing pitchers. And there were times where in A ball approach can vary pretty widely. You never know, but you'd see maybe the first two hitters in an inning, you know, there's two outs on three pitches and your pitcher has barely sat down to get himself, you know, ready for, to get a little rest before the next frame. And then Greg's coming up and you know, he's got to eat some pitches just to give a breather for the pitcher. And he did that many times. He played every game, never heard him say a negative thing in 6 months with the Rome Braves, very positive player, a winning player. As I mentioned, he was a postseason all-star, all around one of the best players in the South Atlantic League 2 years ago. And I could say with Greg and with AJ, knowing them personally, that they're both great guys and would be, you're looking to, I think with Baltimore, they're kind of building their culture right now through the minors and through the big league club, and things have changed with leadership roles here and there. Those are guys that you want in your clubhouse. Those are guys that are going to be a strong presence for younger players, guys who are going to work hard. And I think, you know, Connor, you and the different folks in the media associated with the Orioles, they're both guys that I think you will love to get to know, talk to. They're always accessible, great interviews. And I also think they'll both be pretty comfortable in that setting in Baltimore. And in that system, obviously AJ played in Seattle in college, but his family is all from the Mid-Atlantic area. They still live there. Greg's family's from New York. It's not terribly far away. So their families are going to be a lot closer to those Orioles affiliates. And I think they'll be comfortable as East Coast Mid-Atlantic natives. I think they'll be pretty happy there.
Yeah, that's the hope. And then, you know, from the Orioles side, it was kind of a thought that, you know, looking at this trade in a whole, the Orioles sent away a guy in Tommy Malone, who they had signed to a minor league deal and you know, made the team, but, you know, they weren't expecting much from him. And to get even two players at all in a trade, the Orioles were happy. Now to see, you know, they bolster the middle infield depth in the minors and get two guys who, you know, still are young and can project to become major leaguers. And, you know, there's definitely potential for when this minor league season starts that Greg and AJ could be the potentially shortstop and second baseman, you know, maybe at High A Aberdeen to start the season, which would be cool to see. But Orioles fans definitely excited to get this kind of return for Tommy Malone, and hoping at least one of them, maybe two, turns into a big leaguer. But Kevin, thank you so much for joining us to talk about these two guys who you saw in Rome with the Braves over the last couple of years. And obviously no Rome Braves season last year, but we're hoping everything gets going in May and you can continue to call some baseball in the minors and continue to see some of the most exciting Braves prospects in that system. But we thank you again for joining the podcast.
Connor, thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to seeing the progress that Greg and AJ have with Baltimore. Wish them both the very best. They're two wonderful guys and players, and hoping they have great success.
So our thanks again to Kevin Carroll, the radio play-by-play voice of the Rome Braves, single-A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, for joining us there to talk about AJ Graffinino and Greg Cullen. As we said at the top, you know, we did cover Greg in an earlier episode back in the fall with his head coach from Niagara, which is where he put up some gaudy numbers in college. Both these guys were good college hitters, AJ Graffinino in the SEC, and then up in the Northeast for Greg Cullen, but both of them middle infielders in that Atlanta system. And we talked, you know, with Kevin about what kind of positions they would play and how the bat would carry. But especially with AJ, because he is such a question mark right now, and he's been the higher ranked prospect of the two throughout his career. And at this point, he is 23 years old. He'll be 24 in July. And it's really such a mystery. He's one of the biggest question marks just about where he's going to play this 2021 minor league season. He was drafted, as we talked about, eighth round pick in 2018 out of Washington, and he spent, you know, most of that time in Rome with Kevin Carroll. And then in 2019, he went to High A Florida. He played one game, sustained an injury, left the game, and did not play again in that 2019 season. It took them a while to figure out really what was going on there, but they finally realized that he had sustained a concussion and then was kind of having some issues afterward. But it does seem like he's good to go now here in 2021. So we will see. You know, he is old enough to potentially be a double A guy, but because he hasn't played above low A and has had the injuries and stuff, my guess would be he is in high A Aberdeen whenever that season starts in May at some point, and then we'll see if he can move up the ranks. But again, you know, not a power hitter, more of a slap hitter, maybe a doubles guy, but a good defender. And it was an interesting chat to talk about AJ. And of course, his dad, Tony Graffinino, was a pretty good player in his time, played in the big leagues from 1996 to 2009, of course, played on eight different teams in the big leagues. He, seven different teams, had two different stints with the Royals, but he got around the bigs, played for a lot of different teams, and had a solid career. Now his son, AJ, we hope he can get to the big leagues with the Orioles. But, you know, back to the Orioles side of it, here at the end of the week, again, we've talked about the O's will be back on TV on Sunday. But you look at this Orioles team, and you know, we recapped the game from Thursday in Santander with a couple of walks. Trey Mancini had an RBI. Cedric Mullins doing well. You know, if you're a fan of fantasy baseball as well, you're kind of locked into some of the top Orioles I just mentioned because, you know, you may want to take them in your fantasy drafts. Well, for you fantasy baseball addicts out there, you now have a new resource to help give you an advantage in your leagues. That's Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, daily fantasy sports, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to Locked On Orioles as well, if you can, if you haven't already. Give us a rating and a review as well, if you have the time. It really helps out the pod. Again, we will be back on Monday, and we're probably going to spend most of the show recapping Sunday's game. Again, it is a 1 o'clock start. It'll be on AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh. If you have MLB TV or other means like Reddit and other places, you'll be able to actually watch Sunday's game from the Pirates broadcast. They have a pretty good broadcast team as well, so it should be a good time on Sunday. Of course, the Orioles do play today and tomorrow as well, but it will be televised on Sunday. And then we will be back on Monday to talk about what we saw in that spring training game. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.